Welcome to the deep dive. Ever wonder what separates those who just dream of success from those who actually achieve it?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It really is. Today we're plunging into Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It's a classic.
Absolutely. But it's not just about getting rich in the, you know, the monetary sense.
Exactly. As Andrew Carnegie kind of pushed Hill to explore, it's really a whole philosophy for mastering personal achievement, really in any part of your life.
And the source we're looking at today is pretty special.
Yeah, it's this audio presentation. It actually features Hill himself, along with Bill Hartley and Joe Slattery.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Hearing Hill's own voice, it just adds another layer, gives you a richer feel for his principles. It's not just reading words.
Totally. And you mentioned it comes with a study manual, too.
Yeah, like a self-help success manual. It signals this isn't just for, you know, passive listening. It's meant to be active, something you work with for your own growth.
Right. Makes sense. This book, I mean, it came out way back in 1937, but it's still seen as this legendary guide. Personal achievement, financial independence.
And the backstory is fascinating, like you said, with Andrew Carnegie.
Yeah, the Steel Titan himself. He basically sparked the whole project. He believed there was a formula for success, something replicable.
And he didn't just build his own empire. He actually mentored others to become millionaires, too. He was convinced it could be taught.
So he gives this massive task to Hill.
Monumental is the word. Go research this formula, document it, and Hill. Well, he really committed, didn't he? Over two decades, interviewing more than 500 successful people.
500. Think about that. From all different fields, trying to find those common threads and how they achieve things. That's dedication.
Serious dedication. Okay, so let's tackle the title, Think and Grow Rich. The immediate thought is money, right? Cash, wealth.
Oh, of course. That's what jumps out.
But Hill, right off the bat, broadens that whole idea. He lists 12 real riches. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because financial security, it's actually last on his list.
Last, which is pretty counterintuitive given the title.
Completely. He starts with things like a positive mental attitude.
Okay.
Then sound physical health, harmonious relationships.
Freedom from fear, hope, applied faith.
A willingness to share, doing work you love, keeping an open mind, self-discipline, understanding people.
And then financial security. It paints a much bigger picture of wealth, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It suggests that maybe the financial part is, well, almost a byproduct of cultivating these other deeper kinds of riches, a holistic view.
Exactly. It's not just chasing dollars. It's building this well-rounded, fulfilling life. And financial stability is part of that puzzle.
Makes sense.
So the mission for us today in this deep dive is really to unpack these core ideas Hill found. We want to help listeners understand how they might apply them to find their own enduring riches.
Whatever that means for each person, yeah.
And it all starts, according to Hill, with just an idea. That's the seed.
Right. If you're listening, you've already got the basic tool.
Mm-hmm.
A thought. Something you can nurture.
Now, Hill's own story, how he got into this, is pretty amazing, too. He was young, wanted to be a lawyer.
And then a writing assignment changed everything.
Completely. Landed him an interview with Andrew Carnegie.
And not just a quick chat. Right?
No. 3 days and nights, apparently.
No.
Carnegie just pouring out this idea, this passion about needing a new philosophy of success for everyone.
Well, 3 days. And then came the big ask.
The huge ask. Carnegie basically says, okay, I want you to spend the next 20 years researching this. Oh, and by the way, you need to fund it yourself. No pay.
20 years unpaid. That's staggering.
Yeah.
A massive leap of faith required. Just a yes or no decision.
Imagine being faced with that. Hill's first instinct was, understandably, no way.
Who could blame him?
But then something shifted. He thought, you know, Carnegie is this giant known for judging character. Mm-hmm. He must see something in me.
Trusting that intuition. Recognizing the opportunity, maybe, even though it seemed daunting.
Exactly. It touches on that idea of listening to your gut sometimes. So against maybe his better initial judgment, he said yes.
And that decision set the course for his whole life's work. Incredible.
So Carnegie starts him off with some introductions. First up, Henry Ford.
The Henry Ford. You'd expect fireworks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you would. But Hill's account is, well, kind of underwhelming. Ford apparently just gave mostly short answers. Yes, no. Seemed unimpressed.
Huh. That's surprising.
Hill even wondered if Carnegie had maybe, you know, made a mistake about Ford or even about him.
It just shows, doesn't it? Even these icons, they don't always present as larger than life immediately. Success isn't always obvious on the surface.
Right. And that kind of leads into one of Hill's big principles, desire.
Ah, yes, the burning desire.
He uses that powerful analogy, the warrior burning his ships, no retreat possible, only victory.
Eliminating the backup plan, essentially.
Yeah.
You have to succeed.
It's about cultivating this intense, unwavering desire to win. But how's that different from just, you know, wishing really hard?
Good question. Hill gets very practical about it. He doesn't just leave it as an abstract concept.
No, he gives those six steps. Concrete actions to turn that burning desire into reality, whether it's money or something else.
Okay, let's break those down. Step one. First, fix in your mind the exact amount of money or the specific thing you desire. Be definite. No vagueness.
That definiteness is key, isn't it? Not just, I want to be rich, but I want X amount.
Precisely. Second, determine exactly what you intend to give in return for it. Success isn't free. There's a trade.
The principle of reciprocity, you have to offer value. Makes sense. What's third?
Third, set a definite date. When do you intend to possess this thing you desire?
Ah, the deadline. Creates urgency. Stops it from being just a someday maybe thing.
Right. Fourth, create a definite plan to carry out your desire. And this is important. Start at once, whether you feel ready or not. Take action.
Imperfect action is better than no action. Get the ball rolling.
Fifth, write it all down. A clear, concise statement. What you want, the date, what you'll give, the plan. Putting it in writing makes it real, tangible, solidifies the intention.
And sixth, this is the crucial bit for engaging your mind. Read that written statement aloud twice a day, morning and night.
And not just reading it like a shopping list.
No, with feeling, with belief. You have to see yourself, feel yourself already in possession of it.
That's where the auto-suggestion piece comes in, which we should definitely talk more about. It's about programming your subconscious.
Exactly. And Hill admits, trying to vividly imagine something you don't have yet, that can be tough.
That's where the burning desire comes back in. It provides the emotional fuel needed to sustain that belief, even when reality hasn't caught up yet.
Right. And Hill insists these six steps aren't just, you know, wishful thinking.
No, he points to people like Carnegie himself. These were the principles Carnegie used to go from being a laborer to a magnate.
And Thomas Edison, another giant, apparently endorsed these same principles. Said they were essential for any big goal, not just money.
So they're road-tested strategies, basically. Proven in the real world by people who achieved enormous success.
Which adds a lot of weight. Hill also hammers home that big success demands not just desire, but belief. Unshakable belief.
Yeah, he draws a sharp line between just wishing for something and actually being ready to receive it, feeling deserving.
And he argues that you need to be open-minded for that kind of deep belief to really take hold.
Makes sense. If your mind is closed off, belief can't get in.
Then he shares that story about his son, Blair. It's incredibly moving.
The boy born without external ears.
Yes. Doctors told Hill his son would likely be deaf and mute his whole life.
Devastating news for any parent.
But Hill just refused to accept it. He held this absolute conviction that Blair would hear.
Wow. Against all medical advice.
Through years of persistence, belief, prayer, focused effort, Blair eventually developed significant hearing, and later a hearing aid restored it fully.
That's an amazing story. It really drives home that point about desire backed by unwavering faith, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Hill saw it as proof of the principle. His belief, his persistent desire for his son's hearing, actually influenced the outcome. He called it a modern miracle.
And that links directly back to autosuggestion, right?
Perfectly. He defines autosuggestion as basically giving repeated instructions to your subconscious mind. It's the how. It's the mechanism for building and strengthening that faith, that belief.
And he warns that it works both ways. Negative beliefs, negative self-talk. They're just as powerful in creating negative results.
Yeah, that's a crucial warning. You have to consciously direct it. He even provides tools like that self-confidence formula.
Right, which involves things like knowing you can achieve your definite purpose, understanding your thoughts, create your reality, using auto-suggestion deliberately.
Writing down your main goal, acting with integrity, wanting to serve others, it's quite comprehensive.
It really is. It's a whole framework for building that success-oriented mindset.
So as we start to kind of wrap up this first look into Hill's philosophy, a few things really stand out for me. First, that core idea. All achievement starts with an idea. Simple, but profound.
But the idea needs fuel.
Right. It needs that burning desire, a definite purpose, and a plan. And those six steps give you a practical starting point.
Let's quickly recap them. Fix the amount, determine what you'll give, set the date, create the plan, write it down.
And read it aloud, twice daily, with feeling and belief.
And we shouldn't forget Hill's own story. That 25 years of research, the 20-year unpaid commission he accepted from Carnegie.
Yeah, Carnegie's belief in him was huge, and even that sort of awkward meeting with Henry Ford.
It shows that success doesn't always look glamorous at the start. Perseverance is key.
Ultimately, it really comes back to mindset and belief, doesn't it?
It really does. Riches, however, Hill defines them, and remember how broad that definition is, start as a state of mind.
Being ready to receive, believing you can, keeping that open mind.
And the Blair story is such a powerful illustration of that belief in action. Desire plus faith creating tangible results.
And autosuggestion is the tool Hill gives us to actively cultivate that belief.
Consciously feeding positive instructions to our subconscious, rather than letting negative thoughts run the show, it puts the control back in our hands.
So maybe a final thought for our listeners to mull over. Reflecting on Hill's 12 real riches, you know, health, relationships, purpose, not just money, which one resonates most with you right now?
That's a great question. And following from that,
yeah,
what's one idea, even a small one, that you feel maybe a little stark for?
Mm-hmm.
Something you can start nurturing today using some of these principles.
Because according to Hill, that spark, that thought, that desire, that's the real starting line for achieving your own version of enduring riches. This deep dive is just the beginning, really.
Mm-hmm. It all starts with harnessing the power of your own thoughts.